Hi, I'm Dave DeWitt, and today I'd like to say a few things about Christian cultural transformation. I believe it's such a crucial issue in the church that I'm going to do two podcasts on it. This one will focus on what's being taught in the Christian community, and the next one will be focusing on the answers from the Bible. Although both will have references from the Bible, this one will focus on what many Christians are teaching. So let's get started. One of the mega movements of the 21st century is the promotion of cultural change on a global level. Of course, culture is a moving stream, always changing. But the new movements are purposely attempting to shape that change. Liberal progressives often call the movement social justice. For example, the United Nations said, quote, "Social justice may be broadly understood as the fair and compassionate distribution of the fruits of economic growth," close quote. Many Christian organizations have responded by calling believers to be involved in redeeming or transforming the world's culture towards Christian values, starting with the culture in which I live. I'll use the term transformationalism to identify the Christian movement, since it's a common term used in the literature. The reason I put Christian transformationalism in the same category with secular social justice is because they both have the goal of transforming the culture of the world, albeit in opposite directions. For example, transformationism would say Christians living in America should be involved in transforming American culture to favor things like the traditional family, heterosexual marriage, and protecting the rights of the unborn. It's not my purpose here to discuss the secular, liberal, or conservative ideals of social justice. My concern is only about the Christian form of it. My concern is that Christians are being deceived by the leadership of this movement. The leaders have changed the definition of the gospel with the result that believers are wasting precious time involving themselves in futile cultural projects. I shall develop a position that the Bible does not teach cultural involvement. Therefore, transformationalism, redeeming the earth's culture, is not a biblical idea. Defining transformationalism. Here's the definition according to Canadian pastor and Reformed theologian Tim Challis. Transformationalism is, quote, "to impact the culture in ways consistent with Christian doctrine and piety," close quote. John Stonestreet, president of Colson Center for Christian Worldview, claims, and this is a quote from him, "There has been incredible transformation in many aspects of our culture. For example, there are far more Christian academics in prominent positions than when Chuck and Nancy," he's talking about Chuck and Nancy Colson, "wrote in 1999. That's good news. Also, global objective poverty has been cut in half the last 30 years. The biggest part of this has been the application of Christian notions to work, dignity, and the role of the state. This is good news, too, if Christian filmmaking is better than it used to be, and there are many involved in the arts. The pro-life movement is having amazing cultural success, too." That's a close quote from Stonestreet. But Stonestreet's list is problematic. True, pro-life objectives are biblical, but Stonestreet has to be very selective to cherry-pick his few limited good news events. To conclude, there's been many incredible transformations in many aspects of our culture seems agenda-driven, not an assessment of what's actually obviously globally going on in the culture. There are far more examples of the church moving towards apostasy, as in 2 Thessalonians 2:3, and the world's culture following the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. The Antichrist, Great Tribulation, in Revelation 7:14, as prophesied in the Old Testament, predicted by the Apostle Paul, confirmed by Jesus, and described in Revelation 6-18. According to the biblical definition of good and evil, the individual acts of people globally are becoming more evil. Consider sexual LGBTQ perversion, pornography, feminism, and the destruction of the family, lying and blasphemy. There's hardly a conversation or a recent film made without trash talk and casual blasphemy. True, the sin nature of man remains the same, but in the 21st century, the morality of the world is getting worse. When I'm challenged about that statement, I usually make 4 points. The percent, not just the number, of evil, most evil character acts are greater. Number 2, the tolerance of evil is greater. Number 3, the opportunity for committing evil is greater. And number 4, the condemnation of those who do not promote evil is greater. For example, the Bible calls homosexuality sinful, an abomination, a degrading passion, ungodly. Suppose you go to a small village in Europe in the 1500s and ask whoever you meet on the street if homosexuality is wrong. Almost all would say it's wrong. Then suppose you go to that same village today with the same question. Almost none of them would say it's wrong. In America, you would likely be condemned for hate speech just for asking the question. Transformationalism is the new evangelism. Harold Ockenguy, founder and first president of Fuller Theological Seminary, is one of the fathers of what has been today's transformational Christianity. He called it new evangelism and said it differs from fundamentalism, quote, in its willingness to handle the social problems which the fundamentalists evade. There needs to be no disagreement between personal gospel and the social gospel, close quote. There should be no doubt that Christianity of many godly missionaries has had a positive moral impact on the culture where they ministered the gospel. There should be no doubt that the Bible consistently exhorts believers to care for widows and orphans and poor and needy. There should be no doubt that we are to create a biblical culture in our families, in our extended families, in our Christian organizations. But where's the biblical mandate to impact secular culture? In the Old Testament, attempting to impact the world's culture was never an assignment from God. Enoch walked with God in Genesis 5:24. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord in Genesis 6:8. But neither were told to change their pre-flood culture. Adam was never told to impact the culture of the Canaanites. Joseph was never told to impact the culture of the Egyptians, even when he was in a position of authority. Neither Moses nor Joshua were told to transform the cultures of the Amorites, the Hittites, Perizzites, Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. David was given no directive from God to impact the culture of the Philistines. Daniel suggested no cultural change for the Babylonians. Nehemiah suggested no cultural changes for the Persians. The New Testament gives no example, command, or suggestion for transforming the culture of the Greeks or Romans. Say away from their cruel slavery, homosexual and heterosexual temple, cult prostitution, or polytheism. Paul said believers were to be wise in making the most of your time because the days are evil, not attempting to change the culture so the days will be less evil. He told Timothy to fight the good fight of faith and take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, 1 Timothy 6:12. Cultural change is not about eternal life. It's the wrong fight. In both the Old and New Testament, God's people were commanded to love your neighbors yourself. Leviticus 19:18 and Matthew 19:19. But nowhere in the Bible was that understood as an exhortation for believers to influence the culture of the world that surrounded them. If God wanted his people to redeem the culture of the world, you would think he would have mentioned it to somebody. Transformationalism defines the gospel as the so-called cultural mandate. Christian transformation called Genesis 1:28 the cultural mandate. Since there's a lot of talk about that, we'll look at it a minute. The passage says this, quote, this is Genesis 1:28. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Close quote. The claim is that the mandate for believers is for believers to redeem the physical and cultural structures of the world. As Greg Beale, professor of New Testament Biblical Theology at Westminster Theological Seminary, said, quote, the cultural mandate is the first great commission. But Genesis 1:28 is not a cultural mandate. There's nothing to do with the culture at all. This command was given in the Garden of Eden before the fall. Genesis 1:28 is a command to subdue and rule over the physical creation of plants and animals. For example, we should manage the wolf and deer population, not kill all the whales or cut down all the trees without replacing them. But plants and animals don't have culture. Only humans have that. Genesis 1:28 is a mandate to rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth, not to redeem human culture. There's nothing cultural about the so-called cultural mandate. If God meant for Genesis 1:28 to be understood as a cultural mandate, you'd think he would have required his patriarchs, prophets, or apostles to pursue it. But it's never mentioned. Don't miss the significance of this. These people are not defining the gospel as getting lost sinners saved through the blood of Christ and going to heaven. The more conservative ones would include the salvation of sinners as part of their redeeming of the earth. But they understand the gospel to be restoring the earth to its pre-fall Garden of Eden condition. On November 21, 2019, I was in a group where John Stonestreet, who I referred to above, was speaking. During a time of questioning, someone asked him, how do you define the gospel? His answer was about God redeeming the earth. I spoke up and said, and Peter said the elements will be destroyed with intense heat and the earth and its works will be burned up, right? Stonestreet answered, well, people have different interpretations of that passage. I thought, but I didn't say, yeah, how about the interpretation that says the elements will be destroyed with intense heat and the earth and its works will be burned up? A Reverend Michael Goldo, G-O-L-O-D-O, Reformed Theological Seminary, put it this way, quote, God gave humanity a cultural mandate in the most simple terms so that the creation would be filled with his glory. We see a picture of creation as being something like the construction of a house, sort of like an ancient temple. And when the temple is built, the God who commissioned its building inhabits it. And so the biblical view of creation is that the whole earth is made to be a dwelling place for God, to be a holy sanctuary. But the Apostle Paul said it is the individual believer who is the temple of God, not this world. Peter said the earth and its works will be burned up, not rebuilt into a temple which God inhabits. John's revelation was the first earth passed away in Revelation 21:1. It was not something made to be a dwelling place for God. Instead, transformationalists choose to believe the earth may be transformed into its pre-fall Garden of Eden, heaven as a place on earth. So the whole point is to make the earth into another Garden of Eden, return it to the Garden of Eden. And then Jesus will come back to this fixed up place. Dave Hunt said, in fact, dominion, taking dominion and setting up a kingdom of Christ is an impossibility, even for God. Millennial reign of Christ, far from being a kingdom of heaven, is actually the final proof of the incorrigible nature of the human heart, which Christ himself cannot do. He's talking about changing the nature of the human heart, what these people say they're going to do. Harold Honer said, I just can't buy that their basic presupposition that we can do anything significant to change the world. And you can waste an awful lot of time trying. Hal Lindsey said, God sent us to be fishers of men, not to clean up the fishbowl. J. Vernon McGee said, you don't polish the brass rails on a sinking ship. John Walvoord said, the present age is one in which the gospel is preached to all the world. Relatively few are saved. The world becomes, in fact, increasingly wicked as the age progresses. The premillennial view presents no command to improve society as a whole. Tommy Ice said, we will never be able to redeem society. And Charles Ryrie said, the commission to the church is to preach good news and to teach the word, not to effect worldwide justice. Well, thanks for listening. A paper on this subject with more quotes is available on our website, relationalconcepts.org. I've also done a second podcast on this subject, focusing on the Bible's teaching on the subject of cultural transformation.